Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
And I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
And this is
Jordan,
Jesse, go!
Icicles, tricycles, ice cream, candy, lollipops, popsicles, licorice sticks, Solomon, Grundy, Raggedy Andy, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, home free.
This week on Jordan, Jesse, Go! We celebrate our 200th episode. Thanks to all of you who've supported us. Let's go. It's Jordan, Jesse, Go! I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart.
I'm Jordan Morris, boy.
How long have we been on this raft, Jordan?
God, I mean, I've lost track of time. I mean, I think we fell off cruise ship. I don't know.
Why did we even go on the Dave Cause Smooth Jazz Cruise?
Pussy.
Right. I forgot about the pussy.
Get pussy.
The pussy was amazing. It was worth it.
Oh, boy.
We ran out of shrimp like 10 days ago.
I know. Just to catch you guys up, Jesse and I were trolling for gash at the Dave Cause Smooth Jazz Cruise, and we had a few too many, and decided
I got really wasted.
We decided it would be fun to mess around in one of the life rafts, and we disengaged the lock, and we have been lost at sea for a long time.
I ate my foot.
Mm-hmm.
Cauterized the wound with a magnifying glass and the heat of the sun.
I've thrown decorum aside, and I'm just jacking off whenever. Jesse's
all that comes
here,
out now is seawater.
Sure.
I'm starting to have hallucinations.
Hey, you know what? I think at this point, we need to... We're teetering on the brink of sanity.
Yeah.
We've got to keep our wits about us.
Sure.
We can't succumb to sea madness. I think the best thing to do in this situation would be...
Yeah, I got it.
What?
Replay the 1989 National League Championship Series in our minds. Cubs versus Giants. Mitch Wild Thing. Williams against Matt Williams. That amazing...
Snap out of it!
Ah!
Snap out of it. You're talking like a madman.
Jerome Walton!
You stop it. Now, instead of going over fictional events, what we should do is reminisce about actual things that have happened to us in our real life.
You know what I would kill for right now?
Hmm.
A round of hang it up and keep it up.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. Absolutely. That'll remind us of home and dry land and... What we need to keep fighting for.
In these uncertain times, America is in need of a moral compass. And that moral compass is Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart, telling us what can hang it up and what can keep it up. First, hang it up. Hang it up, space program.
You know, I don't think anybody really cares anymore. What was the last thing they did? They went to the moon or something. That was like 45 years ago. Hang it up, space program.
Hang it up, ceiling fan.
Wildly ineffective. Hang it up, ceiling fan.
Hang it up, paperless office.
You know, I don't even know what the paperless office was supposed to be or why it was good, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen, and I'm not upset about that at all. Hang it up, paperless office.
Hang it up. Hip house.
In the early 1990s, a hybrid of house music and hip-hop came to the fore of the dance music world with hits like the Jungle Brothers' I'll House You. It was terrible then, and every time somebody threatens that it's gonna come back, it's still terrible. Hang it up, hip house.
Hang it up, rock concert.
Too noisy. Hang it up, rock concert.
And now the antithetical to hang it up, Keep it up. Keep it up, terrarium.
If you're gonna have a lizard, you're gonna need a terrarium, and it's gonna be great. Keep it up, terrarium.
Keep it up, gavels.
When you have a gavel, the matter has been decided. Keep it up, gavels.
Keep it up, baseball caps.
This is the world's most popular cap, for good reason. Even in countries that aren't even sure what baseball is, they wear baseball caps. Keep it up, baseball cap.
Keep it up, Ricky Henderson.
I don't even think this one needs explaining. Keep it up, Ricky Henderson.
Keep it up, food coloring.
Did you know that you can put food coloring into food? It changes it into a whole other color than the color it was before without affecting the flavor at all? Is that not fucking amazing to you? Keep it up, food coloring.
It all seems so long ago, Jordan.
Yeah, but it's good. I'm feeling slightly more sane.
It is an amazing coincidence that all of this happened exactly on our 200th episode.
What's coincidental about it?
It's like rain on your wedding day.
Yeah.
Or if a man buys a lottery ticket every day and then he wins a lottery and he dies before he can collect the money.
Also, what if God was one of us? You know.
Like a stranger on the bus?
Stranger on the bus?
Sure.
I think the sea madness is creeping back in. We're starting to speak only in song lyrics from female singer-songwriters of the mid-90s.
Oh, God. All I can think about is the Indigo Girls.
Stop it. The Indigo Girls are a figment of your imagination. They're not real. The Indigo Girls are just a fairy tale cooked up to scare children. Now, come on. Is there another memory you can pull out? Something actual, something real?
What about the time that Chris Fairbanks was on Jordan, Jesse, Go, and he had been cast in an Orange County television commercial? What about that?
Let's reminisce about that.
Is Missoula like one of those like kind of liberally pockets in the conservative place? Is that what Missoula?
Yeah,
I get that impression.
Well, now it's a Democratic state.
No, okay, well,
but yeah, it is definitely the artsy.
It's the place
liberal
with like
college
there's like
town.
There's like a head shop somewhere.
Oh, to an irritating level. Yeah, yeah, it's
you're
very,
irritated by
very hippie weed smoking town.
It's gotcha. A beautiful place, though.
It is beautiful, and good people, and very academic.
And there's a lot of there's a lot of entertainment industry there for you to work in.
Exactly. It is a sea. I've always called it Little Hollywood. A lot of local commercial.
I should bring up working in the entertainment.
It's funny because I am a commercial actor working locally, apparently. Or I don't. Are you familiar with Jack Steffen?
Yeah, Jack Steffen is a plumber in Orange County.
From your area.
Yeah, and I mean, when I was a kid, you know, here's the Jack Steffen commercial. There's an announcer, and he's got
the
traditional...
Oh, I know the part. You do the...
Oh, okay, I'll be the announcer, and you be Jack Steffen.
Okay.
When you've got a prom... yeah.
Take two.
The announcer didn't mess up. When you've got a plumbing problem, why not call your friend Jack Stefanski?
It's Jack Steffen.
For the lowest prices and friendliest service, you're going to want to call Jack Stefanino.
It's Jack Steffen.
So once again, look in your local Yellow Pages for your friendly neighborhood plumber, Jack Step Around Me.
It's Jack Hey, you got it right. Actually, no, I screwed it up. Anyway, as bad as that was, yeah. I ended up getting the part.
Wait, which one of the parts did you get?
Oh, no, wait. I wanted that. I wanted the Jack Stefan one, but they also do A.D. Do, which apparently you haven't seen. But
Hold on. Let's back up a little bit. What part were you trying out for in the Jack Stefan commercial? The announcer?
Yeah, I was going, Jack Stefan.
You were trying out to be Jack Stefan?
No, that wasn't Jack Stefan. Wait, can I ask you, in it.
Did you come in?
No, he's alive and well.
Did you come in for the audition? And they're like, "Well, here's some sides. Go ahead and look them over." And it just says, "Jack Stefan."
No, it was the whole dialogue. But yeah, that was what I was reading. But auditions are always like that. Where like, you have a stupid and that's how they are. But no, that both Jack Stefan and Jack Stefan Senior were there.
Wow.
And now they're calling and. Because I don't want to do the commercial. I've decided I don't
Now, time out. You tried out. You wanted to be the guy who goes, Jack Stefan.
Yep.
But instead, you were supposed to be the guy that goes, doobie-doo-doo-doo?
No, yeah, there's a whole nother commercial, which, yeah, I guess it was misleading to talk about Jack Stefan, because I didn't get that one. But they had me also read for another one for another plumbing and heating company that they... they own now, called A.D. Do. I don't know what it stands for. It's a combination of three words. Just saying A.D. Do makes me cringe. I hate the word. It's like the word Chipotle. If I hear it, I get upset. And I don't. And in the commercial, I had to sing. Like, they had lines. It's like I had dressed up warmly, and there's a fire in my living room in a trash can, and I have to go, "The heating wouldn't heat, so what can I do? Call up the guys at A.D. Do." And when I say A.D. Do, they actually directed me to cross my eyes.
Wait, did you have to be A.D. Did you have to be like that weird Bronx guy? Is that the idea? You had to be that weird...
That's what I added to the character. Because whenever talking about plumbing, you have to be some dumb East Coast
You can count on Chris to make strong choices. Mm-hmm. That's what they say. You're going into an audition, you got to make some strong choices.
Even if they say, okay, think sunny California, I'm going to go, plumbing wouldn't heat. What? Yeah, I turn into
got
Jersey
a pizza
boy.
Pie.
Yeah, I got a striped shirt and a curly mustache. My grandma's Italian. A.D. Do. And then that's what they like. But it pays $300, and I know the original commercial ran from the time Jordan was born until this year. Probably like they ran it for 20 years. They want to pay me $300 to run this commercial forever.
Yeah.
And I decided, you know, I don't know if it's a good idea for me to do some wacky local commercial and have my manager or someone see it and be like, oh, nice choice. I guess you...
Maybe your manager will be watching Blind Date in Orange County at some point and see the commercial.
Exactly.
Oh, Jordan. We've been on this boat for so long. All I have with me... this magnifying glass, which I've been using for investigations.
Sure. And cauterizing.
And this calendar.
Really?
Yeah, it's... Come on. We're reminiscing.
Throw it in the fucking ocean. Just throw it in the fucking ocean, you child.
I'm going to start reminiscing for a second, if you don't mind.
God!
I am doing great.
Well, congratulations.
You know why?
Yeah, you get to sit in this cool room all day.
I got the air conditioning cranked up. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's the first of the month. You know what that means, Jordan?
New magazines?
No, better than new magazines, my friend. It's NBD here in our household, the Thorne-Hosfeld household. That's New Bunny Day, my friend.
Oh, tell me about New Bunny Day.
On the first of the month, we get to see the new bunny on our bunny calendar. And it makes me so happy I can't even begin to describe it.
Well, I was kind of hoping this was some sex act that Teresa lets you perform once a month. She's like, well, I don't really like it, but okay, first of the month, we'll do the new bunny.
Jordan, this month it's a Netherland dwarf.
Oh, boy. It's still not a sex act, though, right?
Still not a sex act.
To be clear.
No, this is really, like, this is what I live for, Jordan. Once a month. What's important is when you get the calendar. This is the important part. It's a good thing
that you don't drink, because I could see you having a few and just going, fuck it, and tearing it off the wall and just looking at all the bunnies.
and then feeling really awful the next day, like, oh shit, what did I do?
Jordan, you gotta parcel out the bunnies fucking up your whole life.
It's true.
It's like it's about when you're a little kid and you save to buy yourself a Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Only in this case, I save looking at the bunnies so that I can be surprised by each month's bunnies.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? What will happen sometimes, and I'm not a new Bunny Day apologist. I understand that sometimes it can be a disappointment because sometimes you'll get, say, a Rex.
Right.
You know?
One of those fatter lops.
Yeah. No, the fatter lops. That's a winner.
Really? I don't care for your fatter lops.
I love a fat lop.
Mm.
What are you doing? I don't know. Just relaxing. got my ears down.
Apparently, I don't have feet.
At least
it doesn't look that way.
Got any alfalfa?
Is what the fat lop says.
You know what? I used to have bunny rabbits when I was little, and bunny rabbit will do any goddamn thing for some alfalfa.
Well, anything that it's capable of doing, which is not much.
Well, hopping. So that's
over
pretty
to
good.
It, hopping over to the alfalfa.
My bunny,
wait, what does it do that's unusual for the alfalfa? Like, whoa, like
it just gets excited.
Oh, okay.
Normally, a bunny doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, it's true.
It'll do a little hopping.
Sure.
And it's not crazy about people. I mean, it's okay if you whatever it's called, habituate your bunny.
Yeah, it feels like they're just tolerating you. You know, it doesn't feel like they're enjoying you. They're just kind of tolerating being touched.
They're a little scared of you.
They're afraid you'll kill it.
But that's what's so sweet about them, is that they're afraid of you. Somehow that makes them cuter to me.
Interesting.
The fact that they're afraid of me, because I'm not going to do anything bad to them.
You seem to appreciate things with kind of meek qualities that you can kind of loom over.
That is what I'm looking for, Jordan.
Yeah.
Primarily, something meek to loom over.
Oh, no, maybe you're just looking for a loom.
This week was...
Oh, you're looking for the LucasArts game loom. It comes packaged with Monkey Island.
Oh, man. You really took me back to my childhood best friend's amigo with that reference. Jordan.
Mm.
I caught a seagull with my hands.
Huh. That's great.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
It's just a Nerf football.
Mm.
Do you want to play touch football?
Okay. No. No. That'll drive us insane.
Maybe we should reminisce some more.
Probably a good idea.
Do you remember once when we found ourselves talking about who exactly was America's greatest film star?
You know, I don't, but you should start reminiscing, and then I'll just see if I can, you know, dive in halfway through.
Okay.
Oh, there it is.
Do you think Denzel Washington is America's greatest movie star? I do.
You know what? A friend of mine's boyfriend is actually working for Denzel Washington right now. He's doing sound on his upcoming movie about an inspirational debate team.
Oh.
It's actually his directorial debut, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Anyways, apparently, and I hate to tell you this, and this definitely flew in the face of everything I thought about Denzel Washington, we can't shake.
We can shake?
Weak handshake.
Wait a minute. Are we talking about the same Denzel Washington?
Yeah, from Virtuosity.
Are you sure?
The hard-nosed cop from Virtuosity has a weak handshake.
Are you sure that she just hadn't ever seen, or
well, this
he,
is from the boy. This is from,
that
this
he
is like
had
third
never,
hearing.
He had never, he, what I, this is why, what I think happened.
Okay.
He had never
Let's
seen
hear
a
your
Denzel.
Crazy conspiracy
He
theory.
Had heard about Denzel Washington, but he'd never seen Denzel Washington in person.
So maybe the guy who
so
said,
he
hi,
met
I'm Denzel Washington.
A guy named Denzel Washington and assumed he was the movie star Denzel Washington and that he was directing a film about an inspirational debate team, and he went to work on the film without realizing that this Denzel Washington is actually a dishwasher at a Howard Johnson's.
Who was slated to direct a feature film.
No. He's not slated to direct a film.
He was just hanging out in the editing bay then?
No! Why do you assume that everything takes place in an editing bay? He met him...
this is where...
he met him at the Howard Johnson's.
Oh, and my friend just lied and said
no. Nobody is lying here, Jordan. It's a perfectly understandable
right.
miscommunication.
Now that I've thought about it,
he said to him, "Hi, I'm Denzel Washington, the guy. Welcome to Hojo's, Howard Johnson's." And the guy thinks to himself, "Denzel Washington. I've never seen any of his movies, but I know that's a famous movie star. I bet he's directing an inspirational film about a debate
that
team.
I'm working on.
I'm going to start working on that film." He goes home. He starts putting together sound effects and whatnot. Right. You said he worked in the sound department, right?
Yeah.
So he just downloads a sound effects CD, starts sorting them into usable, not usable,
sure.
Debate, non-debate.
Right.
Oh, this one is less debate, more forensics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This one's less debate, more Toastmasters.
I'm following you.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm following
you. He's getting a lot of work done. He's starting to wonder why he hasn't been paid, but he's just excited to be working with Howard Johnson. Now, if he's working with Denzel Washington.
The Howard Johnson.
Wait a minute. What about this?
Okay.
What if this Denzel Washington, the one who's not the movie star, works at a restaurant that he assumes is a Howard Johnson's? But the reason he assumes it is because he met former New York Mets Howard Johnson, member of the 30-30 Club, at the thing. He recognized him by his mustache and the fact that he still always wears a Mets hat. And he thought, oh, this must be a Howard Johnson's where I work. It's a perfectly reasonable theory.
Yeah, yours is better.
Thanks.
You're right. Yours is more reasonable. You're right. Denzel Washington doesn't have a weak handshake.
Jordan.
Yeah.
Do you believe in past lives?
You know, I mean, anything's possible. I don't think I have all the answers, but yeah, I mean, it's possible, sure.
You're a spiritual person, right?
I mean, I do sleep on a bed of crystals.
It's just exclusively made of crystals?
Oh, I guess it's not a bed made of crystals. It's a pile of crystals.
It seems weird to me that that's what you would choose to bring into our fucking lifeboat.
Well, I mean, how am I going to get any sleep?
I don't know. Just sleep on... I've been sleeping on the bottom of the lifeboat.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that's going to fuck up my back. I'm just going to sleep on this pile of crystals.
You know what?
Spiritual crystals.
I am thinking back to visiting you in your cabin. And there were two things you had a huge pile of in your cabin. Mm-hmm. One was crystals. And one was licorice.
FHM magazine.
And one was licorice all sorts.
Oh, okay. I do also have a lot of FHM magazine that I keep posted.
On the lifeboat that we're on right now?
Yeah.
No wonder you've been jacking off so effectively.
Yeah, I mean, I just can just go back to 2005, check out the Ladies of Battlestar Galactica.
When I try and think about something to jack off to at this point, 2 weeks into their trip on this lifeboat,
mm-hmm.
you know what I come up with? Seagulls.
Yeah.
Flounder.
A particular,
it's so flat.
A particular seagull? Like, have you seen one that made its way into your masturbation fantasies more than the other ones?
Well, I imagine what I do is I just imagine a seagull,
mm-hmm.
but with lipstick.
Oh, okay.
Because that makes it like...
Yeah, like a female. Not gay. Makes it less gay.
Anyway, past lives.
Yes.
Do you remember the time Jasper Red was on the show? And I found that story about another person named Jesse Thorne.
Yeah. I think I do.
Maybe we should reminisce about it.
Do you think we can eat the crystals?
I'll try.
I mean, I don't know what I'm going to sleep on. But.
I ain't got nothing to lose.
Can I talk about what I found
yes,
on the New York
yeah,
Times
go ahead.
Website
Sorry,
now?
Yeah, sir, okay, you've set up this alternate Google alert for yourself. Thorne with an E, whipped her false lover comes
up. Jordan, I did not set up an alert. You are taking this way too far. I searched one time just to fill in the holes.
Okay.
Just so I would know what I missed with my regular Google alerts.
I'm sorry
okay?
I made you sound like an egomaniacal geek.
Man, we all do that shit.
Okay. So what I got was I clicked through to the New York Times website, and it just said PDF of this article is available.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, so I clicked on the PDF of the article. This is the article. The date is in 1887. I'm just going to read the article. It's a pretty short article. The headline in all caps with a period at the end is, "Whipped Her False Lover." The subheadline is,
Jesse Thorne gets a lashing in a Jersey City street. Okay, Mary Ellingsworth, a 19-year-old blonde of 104 and a half Storm Avenue, Jersey City, figures in a horsewhipping incident. She came from Glasgow 2 years ago and sought her aunt in Brooklyn, but learned from a Long Island Railroad brakeman that she had gone west. Miss Ellingsworth found employment as a saleswoman in New York and took board at the residence of Miss Dara on Storm Avenue. She became acquainted with Jesse Thorne. Now, this is Jesse Thorne with an E. I don't want people to think that this is literally me, Jesse Thorne. This is Jesse Thorne with an E. And they finally became engaged. The wedding was fixed for next Sunday. Last Saturday night, Thorne met his sweetheart and asked that the engagement be broken. He had no money to support a wife, he said. There was a flood of tears, but the girl finally consented, and Thorne went away happy. Okay, second paragraph. The New York Times.
Oh, my God.
This is a historical article from the New York Times.
I guess it seems like newspaper writing has changed a lot. Yes. It seems like it's just recounting the thing beat for beat.
This really, you know what this reads like? This reads like nothing more than just an elementary school newspaper with more hyphens in it.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Storm Avenue, which for some reason has a hyphen, and New York, which has a hyphen. I don't know why that is hyphenated. Okay.
New York, capital G.
Exactly. Okay. Sunday night, when Miss Dara and Miss Ellingsworth were returning from church.
This is positively ribald.
I know.
Want to say.
They saw Thorne walking down Bergen Avenue with a young lady on his arm.
Ooh.
They saw him kiss her at the gate and heard him promise to meet her Tuesday evening.
Wow.
The plot is thickening, gentlemen. The plot is thickening.
Back in that day, to kiss someone and then promise to meet them Tuesday in public was just basically public sex.
Exactly. Anal sex, specifically.
Public anal sex.
On Tuesday evening, Miss Ellingsworth armed herself with a rawhide, repaired to the trysting place of the two lovers,
and yay!
And presently saw her released suitor walking up the street. She met him halfway and, drawing the rawhide from under her cloak, laid it vigorously about him.
Oh, man. Nothing's better than this.
He fled with her in pursuit, but finally managed to elude her.
What? Why was this in the newspaper?
Well, I think we're about to learn why this was in the newspaper. Third paragraph. The affair has caused considerable gossip on the Heights. Miss Ellingsworth says she would not have cared for the breaking of the engagement if her consent had not been obtained by false pretenses. She had ordered her wedding outfit, and that made her feel a great deal worse.
My God.
Dun, dun, da,
man,
da,
that
da,
is fantastic.
Da, isn't that unfucking believable?
That is really good.
That is what Jesse Thorne's were doing in the 19th century.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
They were dumping their fiancés to go on a date. They say they're dumping their fiancés because they're not in a financial position to be married. Actually, they just want to go on a date. But if you ask me, Miss Ellingsworth's going to catch them and lay about them with a rawhide.
Who went for that motorcycle? Really?
Yeah, what was that motorcycle all about? Yeah, holy mackerel.
Oh, man. that was fantastic. That's just basically as funny in old time as you can hope for a thing to be.
Holy shit, right?
Yeah, to Google search your name and have that pop
up. Can you imagine if you searched for Jasper Red spelled R-E-D instead of R-E-D-D? And it turned out that in the 19th century, there was a Jasper Red who was laid about with a rawhide.
I may have to change that to my introduction, though.
Yeah. our next comic coming to this stage in the 19th century.
You may have
century.
Seen him on Comedy Central or in the 19th century.
Being laid about with a rawhide by Miss Ellingsworth.
Like, oh, I remember that.
She had ordered her wedding outfit, and that made her a great deal worse. Put your hands together. Oh, man. I wish I was alive in the 19th century.
Sounds really great.
Yeah, there was a lot of poop on the street,
mm-hmm.
garbage. So there was people who went around collecting metal.
Anything could be in the newspaper.
Yeah, boy. Anything could be in, not just any newspaper, The New York Times, the gray lady.
Mm.
Do you think this was on the page called Gossip in the Heights?
It's probably under elections.
Holy mackerel. Do you think she was able to find a new beau?
You know what? I think Miss Allingsworth's going to be okay. I don't think we have to worry about her.
Wow.
You know, also what's funny about that is that the Rawhide beating was premeditated. Like, it wasn't just an in-the-moment thing. Yeah. Like, she sees him with the guy. She happens to be holding a rawhide, but she planned it out. It's like, well, I'll go there, and then I will beat him with this, which is...
I wonder if Miss Dara didn't have any, like, advice for Miss Ellingsworth. Because I would think that the boarding house woman would be like, hey, now, don't lay about this gentleman with a rawhide.
Well, she was,
you may be sent back to Edinburgh.
And she was, you know, like, you know, she's just a 19-year-old transplant.
No, she's only been in the United States for 2 years.
I'm sure it wasn't even her. She probably had to get the rawhide from someone.
Yeah.
I bet it was actually Miss Dara's rawhide. She seems like an instigator to me.
I bet there was a lot of rawhides around Jersey City at the time.
Yeah.
I think Jersey City was rawhide country back then.
Like maybe she got a promotional rawhide from somewhere.
Yeah, like they give them out like for certs, you know? The only rawhide with rets in.
Wrigley's Spearmint.
Yeah.
The rawhide jingles.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Sure, you know what we're talking about, Jasper.
Yeah, dude.
When it comes to raw hides, the 19th century, with Jersey City.
If any of us were musical, we should probably make up the local rawhide salesman jingle, but we're not.
But we're not going to. Yeah, I think we will. I think we should. How does it go?
Remix.
Jersey City rawhide.
For all your rawhide needs.
Laid about with a rawhide. In the city streets.
Cannon.
Jasper seems to believe that this song is going on our mixtape, which is hosted by celebrity DJ Don Cannon. Cannon.
It probably will.
Rawhide. Cannon.
Oh, God. I wish I could eat maggot-infested hardtack right now.
Yeah.
Given the opportunity to eat maggot-infested hardtack, I would be delighted at the prospect.
Yeah. Man, I mean, this food situation is so dire that it seems like I'm going to have to open up the emergency bag of beef jerky, but I didn't want to do that.
Wait. The emergency bag of beef jerky?
Yeah, it's like... 10 pounds of it.
Ten pounds.
It's for emergency, so I don't want to do it yet. But I'm afraid I might have to.
What constitutes an emergency for you, Jordan?
Dragons.
We have been on a boat for 2 weeks without food.
Yeah, but
I ate my own foot and cauterized the wound with the light of the sun running through a magnifying glass.
Yeah, but we're not having like. Dragon or Kraken issues.
Those are supernatural creatures, Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're definitely supernatural creatures.
We could eat this beef jerky, but then when we're getting ravished by the Kraken.
What would we eat? Because it's hungry work getting ravaged by a Kraken.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying, Morris?
I am suggesting that yes, we'll be so famished mid Kraken ravish.
You know what? You're a dense man.
Yeah. Well, I have a crystal bed. What do you got? You ain't got shit, my friend.
All I have is this reminiscence about the time that I had to explain what Twitter is to you.
Can't sleep on that.
We'll be back. Let's hear it.
So we're talking about technology passing us by. You were trying to sell me on Twitter a minute ago.
Yeah, well, okay, here's what... Do you know what Twitter is? I'll explain it to you real
quick.
Sure,
sure.
It's a broken machine that updates your Facebook message.
Okay.
I think.
I don't have a Facebook.
Oh, well, it's useless to you then.
Someone was trying to sell me on Facebook the other day, and I have a MySpace.
Do you use your MySpace for anything?
I don't use it for too much.
The only thing I use MySpace for is emailing somebody whose email address I forgot.
Right. Yeah, that's a great way to use MySpace. Definitely. And I used to use it to banter a little bit more, but it really got to the point where it stressed me out. Like, I feel like if you're doing a lot of MySpacing, I always get that feeling when I'm at a party and I kind of don't know what to do with myself, you know?
Yeah, the feeling that I have at every party I've ever been to in my entire
sure,
life?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I just had a lot of stress around it. Like, am I commenting enough? What does this person think, you know, of my commenting? Who, you know?
Well, take that and throw in a poke. Trying to figure out when to poke somebody,
yeah,
and you got Facebook,
you know,
my friend.
And everybody's nuts about the Facebook these days, but I...
because it's less creepy than MySpace.
Right.
It's less pathetic.
And MySpace
just
is absolutely
looks,
awful.
If I could describe what is different about it, it just looks less pathetic.
Sure, there's not Jessica Simpson's butt in your face asking you to guess which butt it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sure, there's not don't mess with the Zohan...
Now, here's what
Flash
you do.
Animation.
Here's what you do with Twitter.
You. Okay.
You get a little box in
Facebook
front of you.
Do you need Facebook for Twitter?
No, you don't need it for Twitter. That's what I think I use it for. I'm not sure what I use it for. I'm not sure why I'm on it, Jordan.
All right.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think it does anything.
Okay. Well, explain.
I'll tell you what happens. So you open it up, and then you type in some stuff, and then Merlin Mann makes little jokes and sends them to you. Internet celebrity Merlin Mann sends you little jokes about what's going on in his life. Or what he just heard on Weekend Edition.
So this is like, I mean, I get enough jokes via email from my dad.
Oh, but
he forwards them to me.
But
did you know that Hillary Clinton is something of a bitch?
So I have heard. Mm-hmm. Maybe a lesbian, she's so bitchy.
Communist as well.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so here's...
But that's serious.
What you do is you send out, it gives you a little box on the Twitter. You send out a little message on there. Like you get, I don't know, 12 characters or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you can use secret codes, of course. It's sort of like writing on a pager.
Okay.
Remember writing on a pager?
You know, I never wrote on a pager. I never owned a pager. I never used one before.
Really?
Yeah.
I had a pager because I was a drug dealer.
Okay.
I wasn't a drug dealer.
No, that's...
You say 143-424. That means I love you from Jesse.
Oh, yeah?
That's usually what I write on the Twitter.
What if I want to say I love you from Jordan?
You have to make up your own secret code.
Oh. How do people know what my code is?
Oh, they don't. That's what makes it so great.
Oh, I still don't understand Twitter.
Okay, so...
So there's a box. Merlin Mann sends you a joke, and then you make up a code no one else knows.
Okay, so on Twitter, there's hundreds of people...
This sounds like a game invented by an 8-year-old.
Okay.
He's trying to explain the rules to you. This is how I feel.
On Twitter, there's hundreds of people around the country using it at any given time. Those people are called twats.
Okay.
You type in a message to them.
Mm-hmm.
They receive it. Then they put an @ and your joke name, and they say a thing about it.
Why do I need this? Why should I do this? Why do you do it?
I do it because nerds kept bothering me to do it.
Okay.
I just got a lot of emails about it. How come you're not on Twitter?
You're not Twittering.
Jordan, look. You know, when it comes to internet celebrity, I'm no Merlin Mann, but I like to throw the people a bone from time to time.
Sure. I mean, yeah, and you, and I,
you
know,
twat around a little bit.
You have a cause to be active in all these internet. You mean the internet is a big part of your job, and
it's where my money comes from.
Sure,
from PayPal.
Sure, absolutely. So you have to.
I think Twitter is connected to PayPal.
Yeah.
Do you think that? What if I typed in my email address and an amount of money into Twitter? Do you think it would come in the PayPal?
I have no idea. I still don't know what Twitter is. Honestly, we've been talking about it for a long time.
What if I typed it into Yahoo?
Yeah. GeoCities?
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Jordan?
Yes.
Let's say I typed in my email address and the word Twitter and then PayPal and then $5,000. I took all that, I copied it, and pasted it into FogDog.
What, I don't know what FogDog is. That lost me.
FogDog.com.
Oh, okay.
So I typed it into FogDog or WebVan.
GoDaddy?
Yeah, let's say I GoDaddy'd a Twitter with 12 characters, and I included 143. That means I love you.
Oh, now I know what Twitter is.
Great. Okay.
So I just don't know,
Jordan,
if I
you
need...
You know how... Okay, look. You know what? How... Did you ever use AOL Instant Messenger?
Yes.
Okay. You know how on AOL Instant Messenger, when you're away from the computer, you can type in, sorry, I'm gone. You know, I got to go, you know, wash the car or something like that.
Right.
Now, you know how people stopped doing that on there sometime when we were in high school. They stopped doing that and they started making a little joke.
Sure.
And then they'd write, you know, oh, I go to go wash the car. Jack
it's a
off,
dog.
Yeah. In parentheses. That's basically what Twitter is. It's a system for distributing that.
Okay.
So
humorous away messages.
You sign up, you have an account, and then all it really is a little box where you can type things into. Mm-hmm. Whenever you think of a thing to type into this little box, you type it in, and then anybody who decided they want to listen to what you have to say, they click on you and say, I want to listen when he types something into the box.
Yeah.
And you can click on anybody that you want to listen when they type into the box.
Yeah.
So that's, for me, that's Merlin Man. It's called Hot Dogs, Ladies.
Okay.
And then when they make a little joke, then it comes to you in your Twitter.
All right.
And then you look at it on your iPhone or whatever.
Okay. I don't have an iPhone.
I got a Razor phone.
I just don't know if I need another internet thing in my life.
Jordan, you need more internet things in your life.
Yeah.
Because it connects you to the people. Look, there's people out there who didn't even know that you were in a commercial with Fritz Lang. What's his name?
Fritz Lang. NBC4's Fritz Coleman.
NBC4's Fritz Coleman. They were watching NBC4. They thought it was just a guy who looked like you.
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying, Jordan?
No, I should use Twitter to alert people of that.
If you had twoted them, they would have known.
Yeah.
All you got to do is send out one twart, and everybody knows exactly what commercial you're in.
So you're saying that I can inform people of my commercials with a single cunt?
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You just fist it on in. You know what I'm saying, Jordan?
Yeah. I guess gang.
Are you going to sign up on the Twitter?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Okay, what is your name on the Twitter going to be?
It'll probably just be Jordan.
Why not?
I can never create a funny internet name. I've never been able to.
What about Boy Detective?
I don't know if I'm nuts about that. I mean, I'm kind of married to it on this thing at this point, but...
Yeah. I feel the same way about America's Radio Sweetheart.
Oh, yeah? I thought that was just your thing. I thought you loved it.
It's fine. I just am sick of people talking to me about it.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I mean?
Well, no one talks to me about Boy Detective.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because when you say Boy Detective, it's in the context of me already having said America's Radio Sweetheart.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like something that you should complain to somebody about.
Right.
I get a lot of complaints about it.
Okay. Well, I'll try it. I'll probably just make it as close to my real name as it'll let me do. Also, I can help me remember things. I lose a lot of passwords and stuff. I'm always losing passwords.
That's a perfect idea, Jordan. You're on top of it. You know exactly what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you take the little box, you type in your password, you type in your social security.
Sure.
You type in your routing number, bank account routing number. You see what I'm saying, Jordan? You type in all of this different information, mother's maiden name.
Sure.
It stores it for you. And it broadcasts it to your friends and family and others.
Yeah. I guess they want to put some money in your bank account for you.
Bingo, Jordan.
If they're ever feeling
bingo.
Generous.
You got it, kid. You got it. I keep thinking that I see boats that might rescue us. Every time it turns out to be an albatross.
Yeah.
Like a literal albatross.
Huh.
A seabird albatross.
Have you seen any metaphors? Any flying metaphors?
I did. Yeah. I saw... I saw a burning bush.
Yeah.
I couldn't piece together what it meant, though.
It's hard to say.
You know, I just don't have much going on in my head right now.
No, I understand. That's tough. It's tough to interpret those.
Busy thinking about how much I'd like to eat maggot-infested hardtack.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. But earlier you said when we were reminiscing, you said, let's listen to this.
Yeah.
What did that mean?
You don't have old episodes of our show going through your mind?
No, uh-uh. I mean, I'm as mad as I've ever been right now.
Sure.
And yeah, I'm still not there yet. I mean, I'm reminiscing with you.
Oh, I mean, I had old episodes of our show going through my mind, even back on the cruise.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that make you hate life?
It makes me love life. Our show is tremendous.
Yeah.
I, in particular, am very funny.
I love the transporter films, but I don't want them shoved up my brain when I don't want them there.
You don't watch the transporter films in your mind?
No, I mean, sometimes I'll think about a favorite scene.
What do you do when Dave Koz is playing his saxophone?
I enjoy the mellow sounds, and I continue to finger the girl I'm sitting with.
But what about how good it goes with scenes from the transporter? Has that just never occurred to you?
Wait, do you also have transporter? Does it alternate between Jordan Jesse Go clips and transporter films?
Well, when there's music playing, I think of scenes from the transporter and how well they would go.
So it was just a coincidence that I brought that up, but you actually, whenever you hear music, hear a scene from the transporter or envision it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the transporter movies, so I have to sort of project what I imagine they would be like.
Never seen one of them?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
The third one's not that good, but the other two are.
I saw The Bank Job.
Yeah, okay.
That doesn't go through my head, though. It was good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's a lot of fun.
You want to reminisce again?
Yep.
Yeah, me too. you know, I used to have songs going through my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time when Tig Notaro was on the show, I just started singing one of them.
Oh, that's neat.
I'm bad. Really, really bad. The whole world got AIDS right now. Today
you know this is costing us $10,000.
Wait, did you just say $10,000? The whole world has AIDS right now? Did you just say that?
Was that inappropriate to say?
No, I just
Michael Jackson's been saying it for 20 years now. He's America's favorite popular musician. He's a king of pop.
I understand that, but that's some way for me to find out.
Honestly,
everyone,
it doesn't seem like...
Hear me out here. It's a little bit much to find out the whole world has AIDS right now. That would include me and all your listeners. Maybe don't just casually start singing it to us.
Yeah, there's a nicer way to break that.
Definitely.
To us.
Just the whole world's got AIDS right now. Tell you who's bad.
Tig.
It's bad.
It's bad.
Tig, you claim, number
He's
one.
Got AIDS.
Let's go to the root of this. We need to go to the root of this.
The How the whole this, world got AIDS?
No, that is not what the root of this is, okay. Tig. Here's the root of this. The root of this is, you say, yes, I understand that Michael Jackson is the king of pop. You seem to feel like it's appropriate for you to take that as read, to assume that we would assume that you know all about Michael Jackson. But it seems to me, pardon me, but it seems to me...
Mm-hmm.
Like you haven't been listening to one of Michael Jackson's greatest hits
over
the past 20 years. The whole world got AIDS right now, just tell you what's get AIDS.
This might be funny to you guys, but it's a little alarming to find out the whole world's got AIDS.
It's alarming to me.
The whole world's got AIDS right now.
Yeah,
is what the song says.
It is maybe we had HIV and could have done something to slow our death.
Maybe he could have been a little bit more articulate.
Yeah, just a little clearer.
Just in that moment when you're saying the whole world's got AIDS right now.
Michael Jackson has sold over 50 million albums worldwide.
I don't need Michael
worldwide.
Jackson facts, okay?
Over 100 million albums worldwide.
I just found out I
worldwide.
Have full-blown AIDS,
yeah.
Okay?
He was
we
in the Jackson
treatment.
5. You know what I think you should do?
We need T cells.
You know what I think you should do, Tig?
What? Tito
go
cells.
Go on YouTube. Uh-huh. Go on YouTube. Type in the Jacksons. Can you feel it?
The AIDS? Can you feel the AIDS tonight?
I can now.
Wait, can you feel?
I thought that's what that tingling in my arm was, but I didn't know what that was. I'm now seeing that it's AIDS.
You guys, I'm so blown away because this is our generation's greatest entertainer. He dances like he can dance like Fosse.
Yeah, and he distracted me for years.
Sing like an angel.
Mm-hmm.
He had important information about my reproductive health, and he withheld it by mumbling.
Exactly.
By being marbly
mouthed. And you're just casually slipping it into this conversation.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that you guys couldn't handle this kind of stuff.
I assumed you were real fans of the King of Pop. That was my mistake. I'm willing to admit my mistakes. Unlike some people here, I'm comfortable admitting my mistakes. My mistake is I assumed that the two of you knew about the greatest popular entertainer of the second half of the 20th
century.
We're
just saying he should speak up. If he has important information.
No mumbling when it's important.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you talk to him again.
How about this? What? How about this, Tig? When you can dance like that.
Oh, I can.
You make criticisms.
I can dance like that.
You can?
Absolutely.
Will make you some dance? Criticisms.
Will you do a dance right now? If I'll do the song.
I would prefer to hear the criticisms.
She can't,
I'm going to take her word on the dancing.
Do you remember when we fell in love? We were young and innocent then. She's good, Jordan.
Yeah.
Did you see that dance move I just did?
It's unfucking believable.
Yeah. And I'm not even winded. Here, sing another one.
It defied gravity.
I can do a triple backflip. Watch, just sing.
Okay.
Ready? Go.
I'll count them off.
I'm going to
count off
mind
the flips.
If you, were you counting off the flips or the song?
I'm going to count the flips.
I
don't know what song you're going to sing, though.
Do you mind if I stand on this couch just to kind of get my momentum?
That's good. No, that's perfect.
Okay.
I would prefer if you could go ahead on the couch.
Okay.
2, 3, 4. I don't know what you're going to sing.
Jean,
1, 2, 3, 3.5. Holy shit.
Yep.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
Man.
Good.
Yeah. With AIDS.
Man, that counts as 4, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
So you saw it here.
All this talk.
No one else did.
All this talk about Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney makes me want to go have a hayride. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney. Who was talking about Paul McCartney?
We were just talking about Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney.
We were?
I think if you're talking about Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney is implied.
Because your backflip was so good, I said it was like you had wings.
Oh, so. Ebony and Ivory.
Sure. No, basically, no matter what, I'm thinking about The Girl Is Mine. We don't even have to be talking about Michael Jackson.
The doggone Girl Is Mine. Speaking of dogs, I had a hard time finding my way here.
Yeah.
I guess I went to where 45% of the people go.
Yeah, a lot of people because of a little geographic confusion.
The directions.
Tig was around the corner.
The directions that I was given said that I'm going to have to do a dog leg. I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't quite sure how to do a dog leg.
It's kind of unnecessarily folksy.
Yeah.
For someone to say dog leg.
I was inspired by the vice presidential debate.
With no explanation. Not like, this might be a weird word, or maybe, maybe let me explain to you what a dog leg is, or let me just tell you to take a left here and then a right here.
Right. Let me talk like a human being.
Yeah. He's just like, hey, you know, swing by, go this way, straight down this street, and then just dog leg. And when I got to that, I just thought, you know, I'll just park where I think I'm supposed to go.
You know what, Tig?
Hmm.
I'm sorry. I've made another mistake, and I'm going to apologize for it.
That is okay.
I assumed that you had good core American values. It turns out you're part of the Hollywood liberal elite. And I guess that
Believe
was a mistake
me.
On my part.
Believe me, I'm very conservative. Very conservative.
It sure doesn't seem like it to me. You seem like a coastal elite to me. You might as well be Seymour Hersh, as far as I'm concerned. You might as well be.
That was low.
You might as
that
well be.
That was low, mister.
Jeez, man.
Maybe from now on, I think I've got a good nickname for Tig. How about this? Tig Notaro, and then her nickname is Frank Rich from the New York Times.
No, how
New
about
York Times
Tig,
op-ed writer, Frank Rich.
What's a dog leg, Notaro?
I got one. Tig AIDS Notaro.
Well, they're all pretty good. I mean, I think we can all agree that they're all
as
pretty good.
As long as there's Tig and Notaro, I'll know it's me.
As long as there's your name, yeah.
Yeah, as long as whatever you throw in the middle is in between my name.
Well, the idea is that it captures the spirit of what it means to be you in addition to just
old dog leg Notaro.
Right, so that's good. Old dog leg. Right. Good. Done.
I've never known what catty corner means. People talk about something being catty cornered or something else. I always think, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, I know what catty corner is. And you hear that.
An
at least.
Idiot would
at
know
least
what catty corner
you
is.
You hear that.
Really? Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I do
you
hear it. I've heard it enough
hear
to be annoyed by it.
Even Frank Herbert knows what a catty corner is.
Yeah, Frank knows.
Yeah.
Even Adlai Stevenson probably knows what catty corner means.
Yeah. But not,
I remember I was talking.
Yeah, not every Joe Sixpack is yeah. saying.
Sorry, I guess at the cocktail party you were at last night with Camille Paglia, and shit, I ran out of Northeastern intellectuals. The late Norman Mailer.
I'm waiting to use Harvey Milk.
Okay. Gosh. Well, I think what's important here is what we've learned in this segment of the show. We learned about a global crisis that needs action.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the two of you did.
This podcast.
Number two, we learned about who here is an elitist and who here is of the people. You mm-hmm. two are elitists. I'm of the people. And number three, we learned finally, once and for all, what catty corner means.
And we learned that we all have full-blown AIDS. I know that you like to ignore that.
I'd rather you didn't bring that up.
It's kind of a big deal.
Doesn't seem like a big deal to me. It's been a long time.
Okay.
Got antiretrovirals now. We're just kind of going. We're doing okay.
Magic Johnson has a TGI Fridays.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
As far as I can tell, things are fine.
He has HIV and TGI?
Yes.
Wow.
What can I say? The man is an initials enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
You get HIV, you also get TGIF.
Yeah, that's how it works here in America. Now, in Africa, they're not so lucky.
Mm-mm.
You're lucky to get an Applebee's if you get AIDS in Africa. If you get H, if you're infected. God, this is horrible.
Yeah.
I've had close family friends die from this horrible disease.
We're not saying, we're not making judgments about their character, Jesse.
Okay, that's true. It's not a character assassination thing. You guys are right. Maybe I should spend a little more time with the New York Times op-ed page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't you go hang out with A.O. Scott?
You know what I wish, Jordan? I wish that here on this boat, there was some kind of facility for entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, I could read to you out of FHM.
No. I want to do something creative. I want to make something.
Come on. Let me read you out of FHM. Let me read you out of FHM.
I want to make pixel art, Jordan.
We can take the Are You a Rapist quiz.
If you scored between 0 and 100, yes.
Yes, you are a rapist.
You are a rapist.
One of the questions is, are you reading this magazine?
Well, no, that's not true, because the quiz is just one question. Have you ever had sex with a lady? And if yes, then you're a rapist.
Huh.
If so no, then you're a compulsive masturbator. Who doesn't have access to actual pornography for
FHM
some reason.
FHM is really fun.
Oh, jeez. You know what I'd like to reminisce about?
Hmm.
Andy Daly.
Oh, yeah.
One time when Andy Daly was on our show. God, I miss Andy Daly.
What a guy. What do you think he's up to right now?
Probably looking at an FHM. Cranking one out.
Yeah. Cranking one out.
There are days when we have guests, and there are days when we have guests, sir.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you follow my train of thought?
It would have been funny if you would have said, there are days when we have guests, and there are days when we have ghosts. Do that again.
Jordan, yeah. There are days when we have guests, and there are days when we have ghosts.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's the ghost of comedian Andy Daly.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, how'd you die? I didn't even hear that you had died.
I go back and forth between this world and the next.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And why are you haunting?
I have unfinished business.
Yeah,
specifically
sure.
Here in this studio.
Yeah. I mean, you've been here a couple times before. You were on Jordan mm-hmm. Jesse Go a couple times and Sound of Young America a couple times. I don't remember anything untowards occurring.
I believe one of you guys killed me.
Jordan.
All right. You got me.
Jordan, why did you kill Andy Daly?
Yeah, really, thank you. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, Jordan. I just one of those things, you know?
No, I don't. What do you mean just one of those things?
I don't know. It's like when you go home for Christmas and you call your mom a bitch. It's just one of those things. You just feel like doing it.
I also don't understand that. I don't relate to that at all.
No, guys. It's just like when there's a homeless person on the other side of the road and you just run across the road and you shove him.
Yeah, no. Also,
is this not relatable?
I thought these were Jordan.
Seinfeld caliber.
You're trying to make metaphors so that we can all understand why you killed me,
Jordan. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a nice guy. This is what happened, Andy.
Last
week on the show, someone called in and said that she had just moved to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. She saw Jordan at a mall in Century City. And she was afraid to go up to him because she thought he would be mean to her.
Really?
Yeah.
Based on your on-air persona.
Yeah, well, Jordan is, Jordan's a holy terror on the radio. Mm-hmm. You know, here on the podcast, he's really something else.
Yeah.
He's a real firebrand and just a hateful man.
He does not suffer fools gladly on the radio.
Certainly not. No. But in real life, I thought that it was obvious. Everyone knew he's just a teddy bear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's
just the sweetest guy.
Sometimes I'll murder for no reason.
Right. Or shove a person.
But it's all part of the act. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It's like an Andrew Dice Clay thing. He's not actually like that. He's parodying guys like that.
Are you sure?
You're more of a parody. So you're saying, or like Larry the Cable Guy. He's actually from Ohio or something. His character is sort of part parody, part homage to the sort of blue-collar Joe from the South.
You get it. It's very complicated.
So your character is sort of part parody, part homage to the classic American serial murderer.
So you commit ironic murders. It's almost as if to say, imagine if I really were a guy
who committed
these murders that I'm committing.
You get it.
I got you.
It's like when people say, like, well, wasn't Starship Troopers a shitty movie? And then I say, that's the point. That's kind of like my murders.
Do you usually use garroting?
I don't know what garroting is.
Garroting?
Like a piano wire type of situation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever's clever.
Whatever's the last thing that you would do.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you
do. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Whatever would be funniest.
Like a pillow in the face?
Yeah, like pillow in the face.
Sure.
Maybe something, something really out of date. Like a blunderbuss. That's funny.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
It seems, though, Jordan, Andy's the comedian, so I guess it's his judgment that we should be trusting here.
I'm prepared to make a judgment at any time.
But it seems odd to me. It seems like maybe the cost might not be worth the payoff relative to, for example, like wearing one of those black T-shirts with the airbrushed graphic of a wolf on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, compared to that, where the cost for that is it's not the most aesthetically appealing T-shirt, the payoff is the irony that you would wear one of those wolf shirts. In this case, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the cost is a human life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you know what? Then that makes when the cost goes up, the payoff goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always
what you
raise
do to one
stakes,
side of the
right?
equation, you have to do to the other side of the equation.
Raise the stakes. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And you know what they always say about Jordan? Anything for a laugh.
Absolutely.
Sure. I do. I have a graph illustrating that exact point.
Okay. Let's have a look.
No, let's all have a look.
Well, listen, we have
audience, close your eyes and imagine a funny graph.
We have a lot of fun planned for this week's program with the ghost of Andy Daly here. He travels between worlds. Are you in ghost form or corporal form?
No, I'm in corporal form right now, but I can be a ghost.
Incorporal or corporal?
Oh, geez. I am now not a ghost.
Okay, good.
But you never know
that's
what's going to happen.
That's why you don't sound that spooky. You sound more genial.
Right, exactly. Here, watch this. Now I'm a ghost.
Oh, fuck!
Ghost! All right, relax. I'm not now.
You know, you look, it was funny why, I wonder why we got so scared, because you look exactly the same. You just sounded
like that. I don't have any idea what I look like when I go to ghost mode.
Nah, no.
You look the same.
Is that right?
That must be why you're so successful in the regular world.
Your hair parts on a different side. That's kind of the only,
is that what happened?
That's the only way I was able to tell that something had changed. And the voice.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got a great show. I just found out Jordan's a murderer.
Yep.
We got the ghost of Andy Daly here. A lot of good phone calls. So I think this one's going to be a lot of fun.
And this is what you call a can't fail show.
Sure. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Foolproof.
It's Jordan, Jesse, Go. I'm Jesse Thorne, America's radio sweetheart. Are you eating beef jerky?
Nope.
I think there's some beef jerky.
Nope.
Jordan,
hmm?
You're smiling really wide right now.
That's because I enjoy the sea, which we're in the middle of.
You weren't smiling for the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know.
You've been
kind of just starting to sink in now, you know?
You've been downright ornery.
Yeah, but I don't know. I'm just, hey.
Jordan, what's that brown stuff in between your teeth?
Ocean stuff. Something I found in the ocean. Not food. Certainly not food. It's a residue. An oceanic residue.
Inside my head right now, mm-hmm. I am visiting makepixelart.com.
No, that's... That'll stave off madness for a couple hours.
And I'm making pixel art of you. Mm. And you've got a big Slim Jim in your hand. You're snapping into the Slim Jim. Just as the noose around your neck is snapping the connection between your brain and your spine.
Boy, that's an amazing website.
MakePixelArt.com.
You can really make pixel art out of anything.
You really can. I mean, it is amazing. You know what you know what I always think is one of the best times to make pixel art?
Anytime?
Well, when you're counting down to your first bong hit.
Oh, which we helped the guy do.
Since you. Yeah. Let's reminisce. We got this call from this guy. Now, look, this call isn't much. There's not a lot of content in this call, Jordan,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to include it. And I think when you hear it, you'll see why.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, Jordan, Jesse? Doing a call from a great state of Cleveland, Tennessee. I work in a manufacturing industry. We cut out floorboards for a bus company, Bluebird School Bus Company, and gotta say, man, we've done hit on those tough economic times that you've been hearing about on the news, talk show programs on the television. And so getting a little bit behind on the podcast, a couple of episodes behind, which I'm quite a bit dismayed on that. But hopefully things will turn around soon. On another note, come April 6th, I will be officially released from federal probation. I was accused of some conspiracy charges, some shit they couldn't even prove, yet I was conspiring to do. So needless to say, I'm going on 3 years of no marijuana intake in my lungs, but come April 6th will be my first official bong hit. So if you guys want to count down the ball with me on that, that might be cool. I know you aren't necessarily Mary Jane friendly on the show yet. Just had to put that out there. So, yeah, I love the show. You guys keep it up. 2009, keep it real. Whatever.
My God. Wow. Yes. Yes.
Wick.
We will absolutely do a countdown to your first bong hit.
from the great state of Cleveland, Tennessee, my friend.
Wow. How do you get a podcast in prison?
He's on probation, Jordan.
Oh, okay.
The man is on probation. He's not in prison.
Oh, okay. And he works for the...
He works for the Bluebird
okay.
school bus company.
Gotcha.
I'll tell you this much.
What?
I certainly feel a lot better about the safety of our children, specifically with regard to floorboards.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you that.
Yeah.
The guy's not pulling bong rips.
Yeah, right. I know.
3 years he hasn't been because of those bullshit conspiracy charges. Couldn't even prove them.
I hate those.
Oh, God. What do you think it was a conspiracy to do? Defraud a minor.
Probably.
And by minor, I mean M-I-N-E-R.
Yeah.
That's a crime in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Conspiracy to defraud a minor.
Who is also the governor. Also does a little mining on the side.
They sold him a parakeet for mm-hmm. his mining.
Yeah.
But it was actually just one of those ones you buy at the drugstore where you just press a button and it goes... You know what I mean?
Oh,
like
sort yeah.
of like one of those talking
and then
pirate
things. He goes into the mine. He doesn't know if there's poison gas.
Exactly. So then all of a sudden you're busted. Conspiracy to defraud a minor.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
You're a legal genius.
Thank you. I'm a regular...
William Shatner on Boston Legal.
There you go. Thank you very much. I prefer to think of myself as a James Spader on Boston Legal. Thank you very much. You know what? We've been on this boat mm-hmm. for 2 weeks. We've been recording this very special episode of Jordan Jesse Go for what, about 6 hours now?
Yeah, that's about right.
6-8 hours.
Hard to say, but I'm just judging by the sun, how the sun has moved. Yeah.
I've been looking at the sun. It seems like it's wiggling a little bit.
Yeah. You know what? I'd keep looking at it. Maybe it'll wiggle more.
You know what?
Just really give it a good look.
I gotta get a closer look at this thing. I'm getting my magnifying glass out.
Good idea.
Hey, would you mind reminiscing a little bit for me? I was thinking you could maybe reminisce about the time that Brandon Bird was on our show, and we talked about dinosaurs a lot.
Yeah, okay.
He's well known for his paintings, which often feature pop cultural figures, sometimes engaged in unusual activities, such as B. Arthur, is it, that's wrestling the raptor?
That's correct. Is it raptors or is it Deinonychus? What exactly, what pack hunting carnivore is she wrestling?
I always thought it was Deinonychus.
I say Deinonychus.
Diplodocus.
That's another one. And it's Diplodocus.
Brontosaur?
There you go.
Okay, great. Brandon Bird. Brandon, yeah. Welcome to Jordan Jesse Go. It's great to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I was actually going to answer his question.
No, yeah, please do.
Fine, go for it.
I think by their size, they'd have to be Deinonychus because, mm-hmm. like, it's, you know, based off the Jurassic Park raptors, and those are too big. And also, you know, miscolored and featherless because, you know, this week they found out what dinosaurs looked like.
Wait, they found out what dinosaurs looked like this?
I mean, not what they look like, what they were, their coloration.
I know. I didn't know this.
Wait, you hold on. Know this? Stop. Wow. Hammer time. Let's deal with this.
Yeah. Let's unpack this suitcase. When did they find this out?
You just dropped.
What do they look like?
You just dropped a dino bomb on us.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, it's not all dinosaurs. It's the feathered dinosaurs, like the little raptory guys.
Okay. Because I was under the impression
this is bird-hipped dinosaurs.
Yeah. Specifically. The ones that, like, the small predator guys who had feathers.
If I remember my Nova correctly from when I was 13, what is a Tyrannosaurus Rex a bird-hipped dinosaur? Wasn't that the premise? When they figured out that birds and dinosaurs were related to each other, wasn't it by studying the tracks of a Tyrannosaurus Rex?
I think that there are bird-hipped dinosaurs and there are lizard-hipped dinosaurs.
Okay, and you know because you took dinosaur class, if I'm remembering college correctly.
No, you know, I could not get into dinosaur class.
You were the recipient of dinosaur class?
Yeah.
Secondhand dinosaur class?
Sure, I was just a dinosaur enthusiast as a kid.
Okay. Brandon, you did take dinosaur class.
Yeah,
we all went to the same university, the University of California at Santa Cruz.
Go Slugs.
Did you take Muppet class
Go
also?
Go Slugs indeed.
No, I did not take Muppet.
Okay, well, I took Muppet class, so we can talk about that later. But let's get back to
this. We're listing bullshit classes we took. I took clowning. So,
oh, my God.
So, Brandon, you took dinosaurs. Jesse took Muppets. And I took clowning, and now we're productive members of society.
Specifically, the class I took was called Muppet Magic.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I also took Saturday Night Live class from the same teacher.
Good. Wait. From, Dr. Bullshit.
Yes.
Dr. Fuck Around.
Brandon, let's talk about these
guys. Sorry, yeah.
We're way
okay,
off.
Okay, where did you hear this, and what were the findings?
Okay, so I believe I heard it from the news.
Wait, I need to interject again.
I made a mistake in going back to dinosaurs because we are live streaming this, Jordan, Jesse, Go, which we do on occasion, and I announce it on my Twitter, which is Young American. Somebody in the chat room, I was grabbing my water for a drink of water. I look over at the chat room that's going on as we're doing this. Somebody fucking identified Dr. Kathy Foley from the University of California at Santa Cruz based on Muppet Class. Wow. And Saturday Night Live class.
AKA
all we had to do was
Dr.
say,
"Dr. Bullshit."
Yes, her specialty was Javanese puppet theater,
Balinese mask work, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. And her
MASQUE.
Her top reputation around the thing that everyone said about her that may or may not have been true was that she taught Muppet class because she knew the Muppet people. And a Muppet was based upon her.
Wasn't it a Janice from the band?
Yeah, there you go. And you know what?
It's Dr. Teeth. Dr. Teeth and the Electric something. What was the name of the Muppet band?
Yeah. So a theory that if you saw Kathy Foley, if you experienced one of her classes, and a very nice lady and a perfectly good teacher, I'm not putting her down, you absolutely sincerely believable, she has the mannerisms of a Muppet in human form. She is like a Muppet made – I want to say a Muppet made corporal, but obviously Muppets are corporal.
A Muppet made stringless.
Yes.
And felt free.
Okay.
Wait, back to dinos what color they are. Okay, so
let's talk about
this
dinos.
You were listening or watching the news.
Or probably reading it on the internet.
Sure. Okay.
But basically it's like they realize that like the pigments in feathers have a specific shape. Mm-hmm. They're like a protein that's like oblong or whatever, and each color has a different shape. And those shaped proteins, even though the actual like pigment in it,
so you're saying colors have shapes.
The things that hold colors.
You're saying have colors shapes. Have shapes.
Sure.
This is a fucking UC Santa Cruz shit going down.
Yeah, right. hey guys.
But anyway, they looked at. Using, I think, a microscope.
Okay.
They looked at the fossilized imprints.
For people who haven't seen Nova, that's like a, it's sort of like a complicated set of eyeglasses for looking at tiny things. Keep going.
Yeah, like a long curved binocular.
Sure.
And they looked at the fossilized like imprints of the feathers, and they're like, oh, well, these ones have this shape, and this one has this shape. And they realized that this little raptory guy had a tail that was colored alternating, like, an orange creamsicle color.
Wow. Whoa.
Like orange and white alternating stripes down its
no
tail.
No fucking way.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's as good as it gets.
As a lifelong dinosaur aficionado, I can safely say holy shit. That's something in all the museum tours I've taken over my life and all the, you know, blah, 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 blah I read as a kid. They basically always said we will never know what color dinosaurs were, and now we do, and now I'm mad at all of them.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Retroactively.
What the fuck, scientists?
Yeah, come on.
You know what? I think scientists think it's their job to preemptively crush our dreams.
I think so, too.
That's why they say that man will never fly without the aid of a machine. Pretty soon, we're going to find out that not only can I fly with the aid of a machine, but I've got alternating orange and white stripes on my tail.
Yes.
That's the kind of shit we're going to start finding out.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is amazing. Brandon, you've already brought to us some of the best information that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, thank you.
Are they looking into other dinosaurs and what color they are? Or are they just going to quit while they're ahead?
I think it basically implied that it is limited to feathered dinosaurs. Okay. And having the fossilized imprints or remains or whatever of the feathers to look at.
Let me ask you guys this question. Archaeopteryx.
Not really a dinosaur.
Not really a question.
Wow.
Shut down.
You guys are a regular couple of scientists.
Yeah. Here, I'm extending. I have my microscope in my hand. I am extending it out at arm's length, and I am dropping it. Chris Rock style.
Jordan.
The final word.
Is that honestly the case that an Archaeopteryx is not a real dinosaur?
It's not.
Because it can fly?
Yeah, I'm I'm reluctant to call it a pterosaur.
It's okay. Not. It's I think it's like a bird-like lizard.
Yeah, or something. I think it's like the, technically a lizard.
Because it doesn't have... I'm actually trying to remember dinosaur class too. Right now.
If I'm not mistaken, dinosaur means terrible lizard in Latin.
That's correct.
So I know for a fact that dinosaurs are lizards. They're as lizardy as they are terrible.
Yeah, but scientifically, what defines a dinosaur is, I think, its hip shape and then its sinus cavity. There's something in its head that specifically is like, well, this is different than...
That's what defines a supermodel.
It sets a supermodel apart from a regular model.
Right, exactly. That's the difference.
Sure, there's bird-hipped models and there's lizard-hipped models.
Exactly. So, for example...
And some have a venom that they can spit.
Take Twiggy, bird-hipped.
Sure.
Supermodel Twiggy. Well, anyway, we're mostly going to be talking about dinosaurs on this week's show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Diplodocus is going to be discussed. Various ichthyosaurs.
Also not a dinosaur.
Nope.
What the fuck?
It's not a dinosaur.
What is this?
It's a swimming one. There's a different kind of thing when they're swimming.
Yeah, it's not a dinosaur.
Is this a fucking setup?
Do you just think everything is a dinosaur, it sounds like?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're pretty liberal with your definition of dinosaurs.
I am not liberal with my definition of dinosaurs. What about saber-toothed tigers? That's a dinosaur.
No.
Mammal. Late Ice Age.
Whoa. Saber-toothed tigers. Check out those fucking chompers.
Remember that time you said you were married to a dinosaur? That was also not true.
You know what I've been thinking a lot about, Jordan? Breakfast.
Breakfast.
French toast.
Yeah.
Poached eggs.
Nuts stepped on by a dominatrix. What?
I'm sorry?
Breakfast?
French toast. Poached eggs.
Poached eggs. Getting your nuts stepped on by a dominatrix. Waffles?
Right. Waffles.
Yeah.
I have orders from my wife to buy whole grain waffles. So I'm in the waffle aisle, checking out the waffles. There's a sign. In fact,
get your nuts out of that vice, Jesse. Jesus Christ.
A series of identical signs in the waffle aisle. I'm gonna read to you what this sign says. This is in the waffle area of the Gelson's.
Sure.
Due to manufacturing issues, Kellogg's is currently unable to provide a consistent supply of Eggo brand frozen waffles. Vans waffles have seen a substantial increase in demand and are experiencing shortages as well. It is projected
Vans waffles?
It is projected that over the next 3 to 6 months, there will be sporadic outages on all lines of frozen waffles.
You didn't know about this? I saw this story. I'm not kidding. I saw the story on a news crawl on CNN 4 months ago that there is a massive waffle shortage. Wow. I'm not even kidding. I think I took a picture of the screen as quickly as I could. I'm like, well, I mean, it's like Iraq this, Afghanistan that, waffle shortage. I thought it was a joke.
I think it's one headline. If you ask me, they're related.
I think maybe it is related.
The struggles in the Middle East are directly related to our waffle shortage over here.
Do you think that maybe like the Iranian nuclear power controversy is grounded in the fact that they use nuclear power to create our frozen waffles?
Well, I think maybe it's part of a terrorist ploy to drive Americans insane one piece at a time.
Yeah, right.
We will start with the waffles, then we install the hydrogen hotels. I think that's kind of how it works.
Then all the women's tops will come off.
What could possibly be causing a waffle shortage?
I'm going to guess fat people.
Eating so many waffles.
I'm going to guess that the American obesity problem is consuming 3 to 5 times as many waffles as previous generations.
Is it too difficult? Is there something in the waffle supply? Is there a key element in the waffle supply chain that's irreplaceable? Like, I'm guessing, for example, this is my best guess. I'm not a waffle expert or waffleologist. My best guess is that waffles are made with the difficult to find metal tungsten.
Tungsten waffles.
And so as our struggles with Evo Morales, the socialist president of Bolivia, continue, it becomes more and more difficult for us to get tungsten from their rich tungsten fields, thus throttling the supply of Eggo brand waffles.
Well, before the Eggo settled on Lego My Eggo, they had experimented with stop tonguing my tungsten. And then they were like, well, no one's going to know what this is.
Because they don't realize that there's tungsten in waffles.
Yeah, and maybe Americans might be uncomfortable with consuming this rare metal.
You'd think that they would be able to move some capacity from pancakes over to waffles to make up for the situation, the problem.
There's not a pancake shortage.
Typical pancake faggot. Thinking you can solve everything by moving your pancakes over to your waffles.
Yeah, pretty soon we're going to have to start getting them from Africa and they'll be blood waffles. That's my
favorite. It is. It's almost like having a spackle shortage or something. Where you're like, it's really just a couple of elements, right?
Yeah,
it's not.
You should just make more.
What?
Right?
Oh my God, you're right.
All that's in there is spackle powder and spackle juice.
Unless, of course, waffles are also regulated by the Federal Reserve Bank. They're like, we only print so many waffles each
year.
They'll
lose their value.
We're in a tremendous waffle deficit right now.
Are you suggesting, and let me know if I'm parsing this correctly, that we should perhaps move from a waffle gold standard to a waffle silver standard?
I think we need to get off the waffle standard altogether.
You believe in free-floating waffles.
Yes, I do.
You believe in floating the waffle supply.
A sort of theoretical waffle that the American public just is made to assume is there.
Yeah. Sorry, if I don't have the same faith in the banking class that you do, Chris.
Listen, on paper, I'm very waffle rich, but I can't just walk into the bank and get my waffles. It doesn't work that way, you guys.
You know what happened during the Civil War. I mean, those Confederate waffles were just worth nothing.
You guys say it's a wonderful life, right? I don't have waffles here. The waffles are in Ted's house.
Bill's house.
And in my tummy.
They're delicious in my tummy.
Oh, God. Is there a voice more fun to do than the Jimmy Stewart voice?
No.
No.
Except this guy who builds hydrogen hotels.
Oh, yes.
We've got
Where is my money?
We've got Chris Hardwick with us. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Wait, I have the cure for kit.
Oh, Jordan. All of my reminiscences now are about food.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of getting there.
I mean,
the hunger zone. Do you have any more foot left? Do you have another foot? Why don't you just eat that?
Why don't you give me some of your beef jerky?
It's an emergency situation. You don't want to be...
You ate some of your beef jerky earlier, and there were no dragons here as far as I know.
That was part of a pantomime.
A pantomime? You mean like an English holiday play?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Where like kids all get together and...
Yeah, there's a man in drag and it's a classic fairy tale.
They sing pop songs?
Yeah. A pantomime.
What was this pantomime where he ate the jerky?
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel.
Did you like it? I mean, I did it for your benefit. I mean, we're just trying to hang on to our lingering threads of sanity here.
I did enjoy it. I mean, I can't tell you that I didn't enjoy it. No. I can't honestly say that I didn't enjoy it. There were a lot of nice touches. I liked remember the whole Lady Gaga sequence?
Pretty funny, huh?
I thought that was funny because it's funny. Something that I know and I love, but it was in a different context. Mm-hmm. And remember when me and all the other kids yelled, "Look out behind you, or he's behind you."
And then I couldn't, And I didn't see it till the last second. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great pantomime.
Nice. Try not to fucking bite my head off every time I try and entertain you with a thrilling pantomime.
Do you mind if I reminisce a little bit more?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just going to reminisce about... I'm going to reminisce about the time that the guys from Aqua Teen Hunger Force were visiting us. And then we started talking about Girl Scout cookie billboards.
So here is this billboard I saw, and it number one, I was sort of surprised to see a billboard for Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah.
Seems like an odd thing to have a billboard for. Seems like sort of the premise of having a billboard is that, I mean, the premise of Girl Scout cookies is a Girl Scout brings them to you, right?
Yeah.
They go, you're supposed to be outside of a store or knocking door to door.
And that's one of the things they tell the Girl Scouts in the orientation is you guys are our living billboards.
Yeah.
So right. To have a billboard, it seems like you're undercutting part of the Girl Scout oath.
Billboard.
Do they have a website with a PayPal set up or anything like that?
That's the thing. They don't. You cannot buy them online. You're not allowed to buy them online. So there's really like no...
But if you're going to have the billboard, you may as well have the website, right?
Exactly. And there's no call to action here. That's the the thing is there's no way to say, just buy some cookies now, because you either know a Girl Scout or you don't know a Girl Scout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no in-betweeny world where you can just call the Girl Scout, you know, distribution hotline and say, send out a Girl Scout. I'd like to buy some Girl Scout cookies here.
I guess there's the, you know, there's the door-to-door, there's the my boss's kid comes around, which is how I get my Girl Scout
cookies.
Right,
sure.
But, I mean, there's also, like, the supermarkets and, like, the indie bookstores have Girl Scouts.
Do they really?
I got hit up at the Do-It Center.
Okay.
Outside the Burbank Do-It Center one day.
Sure.
But it's like a table outside. It's not actually sold in the store.
No. I guess what the billboard is just priming you for,
time, gang.
When you see them.
Get your cookie money ready.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Always have cash on you.
If you see a girl in a green vest, she's got some cookies on.
Right. So here's
she's not some sort of crossing guard.
That's right. Yeah.
Here's what's on the billboard. Top left, it says Girl Scout cookies, which is great. Got to get the name of the product out there. It's fantastic.
That's a fine example of text.
Bottom right, there's two pictures of two boxes of Girl Scout cookies. Looks like green, that'll be a Thin Mint if I'm not mistaken. And purple, what's that, a Samoa?
Probably a Samoa. Oh. That's the coconut.
That's the one with the stripes?
Yeah, the coconut roundies, yeah.
Okay, so
roundies,
and in the upper right hand corner, it's got the Girl Scouts logo and the website of Girl Scouts of Los Angeles. Everything so far perfectly kosher,
right?
Is just a great filler for when you haven't sold your billboard. You just say, "Hey, Girl Scouts, want to
put it on
a picture?" Okay, the text in the center. The slogan is "Want a box? Text your zip." And your is spelled UR. And it's in kind of a fun, like kids-oriented.
Like a kid drew it.
Yeah, it's in like a fun.
Like one of these young girls wrote down, want a box.
Exactly.
Text your zip.
Exactly.
And there's a word bubble coming out of one of the girls' mouth that says, remember, don't kidnap us.
Right. We're not for kidnapping anymore.
just buy cookies from us.
So the call to action here, you know, normally it would be buy some Girl Scout cookies. In this case, the call to action is text your zip. Okay. Now, I don't know what that accomplishes, but we can get into that in a second. Underneath text your zip is an email address.
Okay.
So there's no number to text to. It's not like text GS Cooks.
Yeah.
Or something like that. GS
Cooks.
Text your zip to GS
Cooks. Oh, yeah. I see what you're – there's no
– they're asking me to send a text message to an email address. So that's the first issue.
You know there's some tottering old woman who's the head of the Girl Scouts. We need to – to be modern and bring it up for everyone. I want texting and emails.
Yeah.
And let's put some of those phones in here.
And by all means, spell your UR. Okay.
Like the old days.
So here's the thing.
It just says Bieber on the billboard somewhere.
If that was all that just was wrong with this billboard, it would be an unusual billboard. There's also a picture of a Girl Scout. She's got her hand extended like, yeah. You know what I mean? That kind of extension, like, oh, yeah.
I'm aware of that brand of extension. Yes, we all know.
And you can see.
The classic oh, yeah extension.
You can see from her happy facial expression that she just got an order for a box of Girl Scout cookies.
I'm going to say 400 orders.
Yeah. She's fucking stoked about it. Highland Park is big Girl Scout country.
That's right. Abby, just put
so she had just gotten a text on her email device. And
On her email device.
And you know, it's
or
funny.
Email
that,
machine.
It's funny that you should mention that, Dave. It appears that she just got the text via email on her regular iPod.
Her music playing iPod.
Wait a minute. How do we know it's her regular music playing iPod?
You think the Girl Scouts may have a secret iPod that receives emails and text messages?
Well, I mean, maybe it's an iPhone. iPhone looks like the iPod, right?
The iPhone does not look like the iPod.
There's a wheel.
It has a small. It's got a wheel and a small screen. It's clearly an iPod.
Oh yeah, that clearly is an iPod.
Clearly, this is
very clearly an iPod.
This is clearly a stock photograph that they have. Photoshopped in someone's zip code or something like that onto the screen of an iPod, and then maybe photoshopped a green vest on top of a stock photograph girl.
It's probably from the 80s. It was probably like a Walkman. Just painted black and put a screen on it.
And this billboard also, the way you were describing it is way better than this billboard is. You didn't mention that the entire background color they chose as a background color. What would you do? What is it when you think of Girl Scouts? What color do you think of?
Green.
Green, right. What's the back color of this? Flesh. Like salmon, old salmon flesh color.
Sure. Well,
Very unappealing.
If you think about, for example, what do you associate with the Girl Scouts? Merit badges, of course. You get merit badges for things like various home economics things, right?
Where is
like
the design layout?
Baking. Certainly you get one for
camping,
and you get one for flaying, why they use the flesh color.
Maybe they're giving out one for, marketing now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Right.
Plus there's about 17 different styles of fonts on that billboard. That's
so
that
many
one
fonts.
Of the ugliest.
And there's just some random pieces of clip art. There's a shark at a birthday party.
Yeah.
There's one of those fishes tipping its hat.
Sure.
Yeah. The moon making out with a turkey.
A paperclip on a skateboard.
Yeah. Brought to you by Print Shop Deluxe.
Just everything.
It has those little holes along the edge, like it came out of one of those continuous printers.
Yeah.
Like a dot matrix.
We had our contest for the best Girl Scouts across the nation. We're going to design the billboard. I can't believe this is the fucking best one.
It's the only one with no swearing.
Are we teaching these girls nothing?
Can we get out of this?
Yeah, there's got
to
be
contest.
We have to put it up.
States.
We have to put it up. All right. I think, let's just put it up in Hyde Park once. Let's just do one of these.
I think the amazing part of this is not so much that they got little things wrong about technology, that they thought you could send a text message to an email address or receive an email or text message on an iPod. It's that they knew about all this stuff in 1987 when they designed this billboard.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It's like a Nostradamus prediction from
that they kind of were crazy.
Almost right. Like, with a blue turban will cause a war.
Maybe that billboard will be popping up in 2014. Yeah. There will be a great quake.
Yeah, that's right. When they had the divining badge, which girls, their eyes would roll back and just start writing out billboards that they need to put up in 10 or 15 years. Are we asking something? Texting, some kind of electronic address for correspondence.
It seems entirely possible to me, Dana, that there was a whole class of Girl Scout badges based on marginal performance forms and various pseudoscience, pseudo-magic
There's
spectacles.
The alchemy badge.
The phrenology badge, very popular. Badge.
There was the living on an air diet badge. Yeah,
exactly.
There was the mostly Victorian stuff. There was the putting a bell on top of a gravestone with a string that goes down into the coffin so nobody gets buried alive.
You had to go through and make sure no one was buried alive. That's how you got the badge.
And finally, make your own fainting couch.
We'll be back in just a second on Jordan, Jesse, Go. 14 days, one boat, two friends, one pile of crystals, one magnifying glass, huge number of albatrosses.
Sure. 2 years, 2 years back issues of FHM magazine.
2 years probation ended with one fatty bong rip.
Yeah.
It's been a really beautiful journey, Jordan. Do you remember the time that you met Ving Rhames?
Not anymore.
Well, I'll tell you about it.
Oh, okay.
through the medium of magic sound projected into your ears.
Okay. I'll take it.
Curtis Gwynn is going to be there, too.
Oh, that guy's great.
Okay, so Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames.
You're trying to be the toughest prison guy.
That was your bit.
That was my bit.
Okay.
Anyway, so as soon as I get there, people are coming up to me. People from the publicity firm are coming up to me and asking me, what are you going to do with Ving Rhames? And I explain the thing. He's like, okay. And then they list these things that I can't say to Ving Rhames. They're like, you can't ask him about the original Death Race. You can't say anything that implies you haven't seen Death Race 2 yet. You can't ask him to describe something that you should know about. Like, it's so they're really on edge. And I guess he's been like shutting people down and sending reporters away.
And let's be clear. Asking someone to describe something that you should know about is the basis of interviewing.
Right. Yes, sure. Yes.
That's essentially what interviewing is.
Making this all the more unreasonable.
You try and figure out what someone has to say that's interesting, and then you ask them to say that to you.
Sure.
Yes. If you there's a clip, Paul. I think we talked about it earlier. Paul Scheer. He was in Piranha 3D with Ving Rhames, mm-hmm. and he was telling stories in the AV, the Onion AV Club. There's a link, if you guys check out Onion AV Club with Paul Scheer's interview, there's a link to a radio interview. Paul says, if you want to know what Ving Rhames is like, listen to this promotional Piranha 3D like talking he does with these radio hosts. So if you can find it, it's on YouTube.
Okay.
Definitely look it up.
Yes. I did not know. I guess Ving Rhames has a history of being nuts, but I did not know this going into it. So, you know, from the second I walk in there to the second before I go into the door, I have different publicists from different sides of this thing coming up to me. And I don't think it was just because I was wearing a do-rag. They seem to be doing this to everyone. Like, they seem to be just, like, overly prepping everybody to deal with this unpleasantness.
Did your orange jumpsuit have sleeves? No.
No.
Oh, goodness.
Were they picking on you specifically? Again, no.
Sure.
Were you allowed to have a belt? No.
No shoelaces, no belt.
Sure. Don't look him in the eye. So I go in there and I sit down and he basically immediately and unpromptedly starts talking about George Bush.
Great.
just talking about George Bush. And I realize me trying to do his voice will sound racist.
Right.
But I feel like it helps the story.
And you've established already a reputation for racism within the context
of this
program.
Him and Michael Clark Duncan and who played the villain in the Daredevil movie.
Yeah.
If you
do some Song of the South,
okay.
Steppin' and Fetchin' voice, because sure. That's not what Ving Rhames sounds like.
No, no.
Okay.
I will be playing the spoons, though.
Oh, no.
He has sort of a deep Julie Andrews type voice.
Yes, he does. That's right.
So he's just like, you know, George Bush ruled the country with fear. He, you know, and just all this stuff. And I don't know where how that started. I still can't. I must have said something to prompt that, but he's basically like, the Bush administration ruled the country with fear. They used and misinformation, you know, to turn the people into sheep. Sure, I would maybe argue that George Bush was a lousy president, but why are we still talking about this at a press thing for Death Race 2 directed DVD?
In which you're in character.
Right, yeah.
I believe there is a press thing for Death Race 2. That's the most shocking thing about the story.
Yeah.
Who's the press? Who's setting this up?
I don't know. It was the first directed DVD press thing I'd ever been to.
Wow.
It's, I guess, a little more high profile than your usual direct to DVD.
Well, I mean, with
thing.
The success of Death Race.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I forgot. Death Race was so big.
It was huge.
It wasn't Jack Frost big. But
no, well, nothing is. And thanks for bringing up Jack Frost, because I do want to say that is
so many times.
About
it, many like times.
Sorry, Ving Rhames.
So then I just said randomly, do you want to give me a prison tattoo? And he's like, you want to see a prison tattoo? I'll show you a prison tattoo. And he lifts up his shirt. He takes off his jacket and lifts up his shirt and reveals a chest covered in scars.
Whoa.
Covered in deep, horrible scars. And he's pointing to it. And he's like,
It's like, yeah, that's a prison tattoo. And so I moved to leave. I just moved to leave. I just want out of there. Like, it's... You're genuinely
yeah,
like
afraid.
I feel like I'm...
As a racist.
As a racist.
And a man who's much smaller and less forceful than Ving Rhames.
Sure.
Yes.
He's like... And then I get to leave, and he's like, hey, yo, you want me to give you a prison tattoo? I'll give you a prison tattoo. And he takes one of my magic markers and draws X's over my eyes.
Wow.
And yeah. then I leave. And I sit down to do my next interview. And then the publicist comes and taps me. And she's like, there was a problem with your tape. So we're going to need you to come in and do the interview with Ving again.
Oh, my.
Which is like asking me to relive the most terrifying 4 minutes of my life. I don't want to do it. Like, I'm terrified and creeped out. But I'm like, well, I should just do it. So I go back in, and I sit down. And before the camera's on, he's like, have you really ever been to prison? I'm like... I don't know if I thought this would be funny or why I said it. I'm like, no, but I did go to college at UC Santa Cruz.
Zing on
yeah,
Santa Cruz.
I don't know what that... I just... Something I said. I just... I don't even know... I don't even understand why I said
That's
it.
That's like
myself.
A t-shirt.
At the end of the day, we did go to UC it's Santa true. Cruz, and that is a funny college.
Sure. It's a funny thing to say to Ving Rhames when you're afraid of him.
All yeah. right.
And so the thing starts up again, and he just, like, yells... off screen to somebody. Like I think he knows what he's doing at this point. He's yelling to someone. He's like, get my 9mm, get my 9mm. And he's like, you know what that does? Bam, kills you dead. And then I don't know what he's talking about. He's like, all right, you want a tattoo? Take off that jumpsuit. Can you take off that ridiculous ass jumpsuit? And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can. So I unzip it. I don't have a shirt on underneath. He's like, turn around. So I kind of get on my knees in this director's chair with this jumpsuit hanging at my waist. And he takes the magic marker and writes, sorry, mom, on my back. And he's like, in prison, that's a tattoo they give you when you're somebody's bitch. And now you're my bitch. And then I reach over to shake his hand. I'm like, well, thank you very much. And I reach over to shake his hand. He's like, whoa, I'm not gay.
Wow.
And that was it.
Wow.
It's the craziest thing in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Jordan, I've really enjoyed, well, not so much being stranded on this boat for 2 weeks with no food. It's been a bit of a stinker. But these reminiscences.
These are nice.
Would I have liked to have pursued these reminiscences in more comfortable circumstances?
Yeah.
Maybe in someone's personal movie theater.
Yeah, or at a coffee bean and tea leaf.
That would be nice. I could get an iced blended.
Yeah, those are good.
Yeah, I heard those are really good.
Nice kind of nice plush chairs and a what screen about, with a news crawl.
What about Huarache Azteca in Highland Park? We could get Huarache.
That would be fun. I mean, we can sit here and name places that are more comfortable than this. The cows come. That's basically every place.
Gobi Desert.
Sure.
What about the Gobi Desert?
Mm-hmm. The Polar Express. What?
The Wreck of the Zephyr.
Sure.
Jumanji.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Van Allsburg.
That guy's great.
Well, it's been a great 200 episodes, Jordan.
I
just want to thank you.
Are we out of reminiscences?
Yeah, this is the end.
Did we already think about everything that's ever happened to us?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we've had full lives.
No, certainly not.
I say we've mostly frittered away our lives.
Oh yeah.
You on Street Fighter 2. Me on neckties.
Well, the Street Fighter series.
All of the Street Fighter games? I thought it was just Street Fighter 2.
No, actually, you know, Street Fighter 2 is maybe the Street Fighter game that I'm the worst at.
I thought that was the only Street Fighter game.
There's a ton of Street Fighter games.
I thought they were just all versions of Street Fighter 2.
No, they moved on.
That was like Street Fighter 2, Wolfram Alpha.
There's a lot of that.
Street Fighter 2, All Jew Edition.
Street Fighter II as illustrated by Chris Van Allsburg.
That one does have some subtle gratings.
Yeah.
Well, look, if anyone out there is listening, it's only because we've taken the hard drive that we've recorded this program onto, put it into our last bottle, sealed it with wax, and somehow, coincidentally, my intern, Colin, got his hands on that bottle, pieced together the pieces of this show, and you're enjoying it.
Boy, that'll take a real act of God for that to happen.
Yeah, but, you know, you never know.
Oh, hey, you know what's funny?
What?
The raft's been in the pool the whole time.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
The whole time this was a pool?
Yeah.
Where? Oh my God. Because I was wondering, when I drank the water, it did not taste salty.
Yeah.
But it did burn when it went down.
Yeah, that's the chlorine. It makes sense now. I mean, now I feel like an idiot, but yeah, I mean, I just didn't see the forest for the trees there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That is so cool. Is that why I'm wearing swim trunks?
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Huh.
Is that why there's all these little kids swimming with, like, water wings and stuff?
Yeah,
kickboards?
I mean, again, I was like, well, of course.
Is
you
this,
know.
Is this a wading pool? Is this a children's pool?
Yeah. Man, I feel so. This is exactly how I felt like at the end of Shutter Island.
Right.
Like, it makes perfect sense, and I should have seen it the whole time. But
right.
I didn't. I was so kind of caught up in the ride of Shutter Island, you know?
It's weird that we can hear the sound of the ocean so clearly and that there's all these seagulls circling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not so weird that...
No, I mean, it's you know, bad writing.
I would just
chalk it up to bad writing.
I probably should have noticed the speakers in the corner playing atmospheric sounds of the ocean.
Yeah.
Were we even on a cruise? Did I misremember that?
No, I think I was envisioning the pool of the cruise ship. Cruise ships have pools.
Oh, no, but I'm pretty sure, like, I think we're just at the Balboa Park pool in San Francisco.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, I guess we are. Yeah, it's weird.
I'm looking outside. I'm seeing the Balboa Park neighborhood.
Huh.
I see the overcast skies.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure we're at the Balboa Park pool in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Do you remember taking a flight to San Francisco?
I do. Yeah, I mean, now I remember it, yes.
Right.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to maybe when we get back, just maybe spend 2 weeks adrift at the Culver City YMCA?
That sounds great. And then we could do some laps.
That would be fun, yeah.
Some Mexican-American dads.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm in. Well, that's settled.
Yeah, great.
Thanks to everybody out there.
Number 200 in the can.
200 great episodes.
Yeah.
And enjoy this promo for another one of our favorite Max Fun shows.
I'm Jesse Thorne. Whether it's music, movies, comedy, books, or whatever, each week I talk to creative people about how they make their thing, about the moment when their craft went from a hobby to a career, and about the thing that surprised them most about the process. It's the Sound of Young America from MaximumFun.org and PRI, Public Radio International.